Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, your resident tech enthusiast, and as always, I'm joined by the man who claims he invented the internet, Core. How's it going, Core?
Ah, thanks for the introduction, Jack. I swear, I did invent a good part of it. Seriously though, it's great to be here, and I'm excited about today's topics. We've got some spicy discussions coming up, right?
Absolutely. We're diving into the latest AI advancements, the state of Web 3.0, and of course, how these developments are shaking up both the tech and business worlds. We'll also touch on some political impacts, so there's plenty to unpack.
And don't worry, we'll keep it lively and maybe even a little controversial, just the way our audience likes it. So whether you're tuning in during your morning commute or while coding away at home, we've got something for everyone today.
Speaking of controversy, Core, have you seen the latest AI model that's supposed to revolutionize natural language processing? Some folks are saying it's going to make GPT-4 look like a caveman with a stone tablet.
Oh, absolutely. And you know me, I've got some strong opinions about that. I mean, we're on a podcast called AI Unchained for a reason. We're not here to sugarcoat things.
Totally. And along those lines, let's also not forget Web 3.0. I know you have quite a few thoughts on how decentralized systems are faring in today's market. Are they the democratizing force we were promised, or is it all just hype?
Look, I'm all for decentralization, but there are definitely some growing pains. Sometimes it feels like a teenager going through an awkward phase. Exciting potential, but still figuring things out.
I'm with you on that. And of course, we've got to address the latest in the political arena. Tech regulations are tightening, and some big giants are feeling the heat. What's your take on this?
Oh boy, here we go. You know, I can rant about this for days, but let's keep it concise for our listeners. Government overreach versus necessary oversight. It's a fine line and one that's increasingly important in our digital age.
Can't wait to get into that debate. All right, folks, buckle up. It's going to be a packed episode. And as always, if you want to contribute to the conversation, hit us up on Twitter at AI Unchained Pod.
Or leave a comment on our YouTube channel. We love hearing from you guys, even if it's just to tell Jack he's wrong. So sit back, relax, and let's get unchained.
Okay, C-O-R-R. Let's dive back into the Signal protocol discussion. So Signal's triple ratchet protocol, I think this is revolutionary, not just for security geeks, but for everyday users who just want to ensure their messages stay private. PQXDH, quantum resistant cryptographic secrets, sounds like sci-fi, right?
You're absolutely right, Jack. It's definitely got that aura of future tech, and it's fascinating how Signal is setting up protections for users against potential quantum computer threats. I mean, right now, it's almost like they're building a fortress that might never have to face that kind of siege, but when it does, users are prepared without even realizing it.
And that's the beauty of it. Users don't even need to do anything. I imagine most people don't even think about encryption or ratcheting when they're sending memes or sharing vacation photos, but Signal's quietly doing all this heavy lifting in the background.
True, but it's also a reassuring thought. I mean, the concept of heal from compromise is incredibly forward-thinking. If a session gets compromised, it's not the end of the world. Signal is building something that can recover and move on seamlessly. That's real resilience.
Yeah, imagine poor Alice and Bob texting away, thinking their conversations are safe, and then Mallory with her quantum computer cracks it open like a walnut. Signal's aiming to make sure Mallory just ends up looking at a bunch of gibberish instead.
You know, laughs, poor Mallory investing millions in quantum computing only to be thwarted by Signal. But really, it boils down to proactive security measures. Staying ahead of threats rather than reacting to them is just smart business.
And it's lightweight, too. It won't slow down the app or hog bandwidth, which is critical, especially given how integral messaging apps are in our daily lives.
Exactly. The user experience is paramount. No one wants to deal with laggy apps because of heavy encryption. I think Signal gets that, and they're handling it beautifully.
Well, it's also a testament to the collaborative work between Signal's team and the larger crypto community. It reminds me of how open source projects often bring together the best minds to tackle big challenges. That's where innovation truly thrives.
For sure. And speaking of thriving, it'll be interesting to see how other messaging platforms respond. WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, they've adopted Signal protocol before. And now with this triple ratchet upgrade, will they follow suit or wait till it's absolutely necessary?
Hard to say, given how proprietary protocols function differently on different platforms. Plus, companies like Facebook have huge infrastructures and bureaucracies that sometimes slow down adopting new tech. They'll probably wait till quantum computers are knocking on the door.
Speaking of simplicity, this one key derived from two signals mixing keys for hybrid security, I love the analogy of creating an unbreakable code from two different locks. It's simple yet profound.
Right? And it makes it so much harder for anyone to break in. Imagine having both a traditional lock and a super futuristic lock on your door, and a burglar has to crack both at the same time. Good luck with that.
Laughs. It's almost like Signal's adding extra layers of nope to every attempt Mallory makes. I think it's this kind of preventative, layered security that will define the next generation of private communication tools.
Plus, it's building on existing infrastructure. Double Ratchet wasn't abandoned. Signal could have tried to reinvent the wheel, but instead chose to strengthen it. It's smart.
Yep, and eventually every user's messages will be shielded by this without lifting a finger. Imagine sipping your Nutrialgy in your self-driving flying car and not worrying about your chat history being decrypted by some quantum computing wizard. It's practical and futuristic at the same time.
Absolutely. And this smooth rollout ensures zero disruption, which is key for user adoption. People want better security, but they won't tolerate interruptions to their daily messaging routine.
One day, headlines will scream about quantum computers, and Signal users will shrug and go, meh, because they're protected already. It's like preparing for an apocalypse and then realizing you're good to go without any drama.
Right. It's like having a secret superhero guarding your messages, invisible yet mighty. But hey, with such robust security, what's next for Signal? Do you think we'll start speaking of Tetra Ratchet soon?
Haha, who knows? But it's certain that Signal isn't done innovating yet. With the crypto community backing them, we can expect more groundbreaking security measures in the future. Maybe next time we'll be talking about quantum encryption for good old emails.
Laughs. Now there's a thought. Emails could definitely use a quantum leap in security. But for now, let's keep appreciating these small, incremental steps that signal big changes. See what I did there? Laughs.
Oh, Jack, always with the puns. Moving on, what's your pick for the next big tech shakeup? Do you think we'll see more mainstream adoption of quantum resilient protocols in other areas soon?
I'd say that's a given. If Signal's Triple Ratchet sees widespread success, it'll set a precedent. You know how tech industries are about trends. It'll be quantum this and quantum that everywhere soon.
Diverging from that, next on our rundown, we've got some news about Spacecoin's milestone with decentralized communication via satellites.
So, Core, let's dive deeper into the tech side of things. The usage of the libcrux MLKIM Rust library has been pivotal for us, especially with the introduction of MLKEM 768. The Rust library is fantastic for making things efficient, but it's the security side that really caught my attention.
Oh, absolutely, Jack. The ability to improve the efficiency of sending messages while maintaining robust security is a game changer. You know, we often hear about advancements in communication technology, but ensuring those communications are secure is the real challenge.
Right. And that's where the Double Ratchet algorithm comes in. For those who aren't familiar, the Double Ratchet algorithm is what keeps your chats on platforms like WhatsApp and Signal secure. It ensures that even if someone intercepts a message, they can't decrypt past or future messages just from that one intercepted message. Pretty neat, huh?
It's like our own secret language, evolving with every conversation. This new MLKEM 768 version takes it a step further by incorporating post-quantum cryptography. In simpler terms, it protects against future super-potent quantum computers that could break today's encryption like a toddler smashing through sandcastles.
Exactly. Bringing in post-quantum protection is a tall order, though. We're standing on the shoulders of years of academic research. We've collaborated with experts from PQ Shield, AIST, and NYU. The idea is to create something robust enough for the next era of computing without sacrificing the security standards we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I loved reading about their paper at Eurocrypt 25, where they proposed the Triple Ratchet protocol. It's fascinating how they introduced erasure code-based chunking. In layman's terms, it breaks messages into chunks and adds extra codes to recover data if some chunks go missing or get corrupted, like having extra puzzle pieces in case some get lost under the couch.
It's all about flexibility and resilience. And speaking of flexibility, the follow-up study at USENISH 25 offered different design options. Two protocols really stood out, the SPQR and the new Katana CAM designed specifically for ratcheting. It's like choosing between two different types of locks for your safe, both secure but different styling.
That's right. The collaboration and continuous research are what keep us ahead of potential threats. It's exciting to think about potential. Remember when we used to think that adding a longer password was enough to stay secure? Now we're talking about protection against quantum computers.
Times have definitely changed. And as we advance, implementation becomes critical. Let's not forget that the most meticulously designed protocol can fall apart if the implementation isn't spot on. Bugs can creep in, and maintaining robustness over time is crucial.
Absolutely. It's like building a high-tech fortress. The walls might be impenetrable, but if you leave the key under the doormat, well, good luck. The same principle applies here. Perfect implementation is key.
This whole concept also ties into something broader, trust and technology. People need to feel confident that their communications are secure. As we continue to develop these protocols, that trust is something we must earn and re-earn with every iteration.
Well said, Jack. Speaking of building trust, the collaboration with Leva AI to humanize AI interactions also comes to mind. Ensuring security in AI systems adds another layer to the complexities we deal with, but it's essential for the future of a tech-integrated human experience.
The intricacies in these advancements are quite something, Core. Nevertheless, these developments are steering us toward a more secure and efficient digital communication future.
And remember, folks, while this might sound incredibly technical, it all boils down to making our digital lives safer and more efficient. That's the heart of what we're trying to accomplish here.
You know, Core, it's fascinating to see how these lightweight markup languages are evolving. Take org mode, for example. It's not just about formatting text anymore. This thing can actually run embedded code and integrate the results right into the document. We're talking about real-time data coming from code blocks. That's game-changing for anyone creating technical documentation or reports.
Absolutely, Jack. .org mode's ability to execute code during export and then present the output, whether it's a table or an image, right in the document itself. Man, that's practically magic. You don't need an external app for syntax highlighting either. How neat is it that you can write, run, and display your code all in one place?
It's crazy efficient, for sure. And let's not forget how it supports sessions, allowing code blocks to share definitions. This is perfect for long documents where you're building a narrative through constant data updates. You don't have to repeat yourself or lose track of your variables.
Right. It's almost like having a mini IDE integrated into your markup language. Imagine working on a complex project report where you can define a variable once and use it throughout. Updates are a breeze.
And speaking of updates, the NFT world literally never stops, does it? This whole saga with Kevin Rose's Proof Collective and the Pixelated Owl Collection is just wild. From exploding onto the scene to crashing and now bouncing back with this culture coin trend. It's like a drama series.
The NFT space is like a roller coaster. The whole thing with culture coins is intriguing. It seems like a smart move to re-engage communities and add utility beyond just owning a digital asset. But wow, the peaks and troughs these collections experience. It's almost like the stock market on steroids.
Tell me about it. I mean, one moment these collections are the talk of the town, the next they're nearly forgotten, only to come back stronger with some new innovation. Moonbirds, for example, saw a nice spike after their latest announcement, even climbing up to 4 ETH. That's some serious recovery considering the market's recent volatility.
It's pretty optimistic. 4 ETH is no joke. But speaking of serious moves, how about Avalanche Treasury's merger with Mountain Lake Acquisition Corp? They're going public and focusing on institutional AVAX exposure. That's like putting AVAX on the big stage for investors.
It's an interesting play, for sure. Goes to show how institutional interest in crypto isn't going away. They're probably looking at how they can provide a more structured and reliable exposure to AVAX. Then you've got DeFi pioneers like Hyperliquid and Aster battling for supremacy, and now Justin Sun throws his hat in the ring with SunPerp. It's like a never-ending chess game.
Yeah, the DeFi feel is heating up. Sun's always finding a way to be part of the conversation. With Sunperp, he's basically saying, I want a piece of this decentralized perpetual contract pie too. It's a bold yet expected move, knowing his track record.
It's a crowded space, but innovation never gets old. As long as there's competition, there will be innovations pushing the boundaries. Keeps things interesting for us tech enthusiasts and the investors alike.
Totally, Jack. It's all about staying ahead of the curve. And these technologies, whether markup languages that integrate code or decentralized financial platforms, are just laying down the tracks for the future. Can't wait to see what comes next.
So, Core, let's get right into it. There's been a lot of buzz about Bits of Freedom suing Meta for breaching the Digital Services Act. This European legislation is supposed to give users more control over the content they see online. What's your take on this?
Oh, the DSA is such a game changer, Jack. I mean, Meta's always had a bit of a dodgy history when it comes to user data and privacy. The fact that Bits of Freedom is stepping in could really set a precedent. But let's not kid ourselves. There are layers to this.
Absolutely. Bits of Freedom is hitting Meta where it hurts. The DSA mandates that users have greater influence over their own content. If the courts side with Bits of Freedom, this could mean a significant shakeup for every major online platform, not just Meta.
Totally. And speaking of big shakeups, did you see who's the new CTO at Anthropic? Rahul Patil, former CTO of Stripe. That guy's got some serious credentials. This move is bound to make waves in the AI and tech sectors.
Yeah, I saw that. Rahul Patil at Anthropic is like giving Tony Stark control over the Avengers technology. The experience he brings from Stripe, Amazon, Microsoft, Oracle, it's like a dream team of tech giants rolled into one guy.
Oh, for sure. Anthropic's lucky to get him, without a doubt. We're talking about a guy who knows infrastructure inside and out. It's going to be interesting to see how he steers the ship, especially as AI continues to evolve.
Speaking of evolution, Amazon is also trying to evolve their delivery options with things like Amazon Day, where you can have all your orders delivered on the same day of the week. It's a smart workaround for the logistical mess that multiple orders can create.
Yeah, it's smart, but it also speaks to a bigger trend of consumer convenience clashing with logistical realities. And Amazon offering incentives for slower delivery is pure genius. Get people to accept a longer wait and give them a digital reward? Win-win.
Totally. But incentives and logistics aside, look at Rivian. RJ Scaringe is optimistic about a future without federal credits for electric vehicles. He says automakers are skewing the market. But can Rivian really survive in a post-credit world?
That's a tough one. Scaringe has got a point about some automakers relying too heavily on credits, but Rivian has to prove its value. They need to show they're more than just a beneficiary of subsidies.
And that's the key, right? Surviving on merit rather than on government handouts. It's a real sink or swim scenario.
Precisely. Now, moving on to consumer habits and how they affect the tech world. Look at Lovable versus Replit. Lovable ranks higher on user traffic, but doesn't attract as much funding because it lacks enterprise features. It seems like it's all about where the money is being spent.
Exactly. It's the classic case of popularity not always equating to profitability. Replit has those enterprise features that businesses need, whereas Lovable might only be scratching the surface for most startups.
And don't forget, there's always room for different companies serving niche markets. The tech landscape is diverse. You don't need to be everything to everyone.
Spot on. And speaking of niches, how about this push for sustainable mining operations? A bill proposes tax exemptions for those using sustainable energy. It's all about promoting innovation and sustainability in the digital asset sector.
That's right. And it's not just about going green. It's about setting up a new business model. Sustainable choices can also mean sustainable profits. Look at the secondary sales for digital assets and the involvement of big names like SoftBank and Abu Dhabi's MGX.
Yeah, it's clear that the money is flowing differently now. Ford Industries is even planning to add another $4 billion for SOL purchases. We might be on the brink of an all-time high in this sector.
Maybe. But let's not overlook Arthur Hayes' point about France's debt and the ECB's response. Printing money to stave off a collapse isn't a sustainable solution either. France's situation highlights the necessity for a stable economic policy.
Definitely. And France being in a precarious position could have broader implications for the entire Eurozone. If the ECB keeps printing, the euro could face a collapse. It's a balancing act, for sure.
Exactly. Balancing, like trying to keep digital assets secure. The case of poor storage practices leading to massive losses illustrates the need for secure methods like bank safety deposit boxes for seed phrases.
It's a reminder that even in the digital age, sometimes old school methods are best. And Polymarket offering sports betting lines? That's just showing how diversified this crypto economy has become.
Yep. And new digital dollar tokens like Sui.S.DE, powered by Athena, Robinhood, and more. These are creating new income streams. We've come a long way. It's a brave new world out there.
And with all these developments, staying informed and adaptive is key, especially for those of us navigating the rapidly changing tech landscape.
Couldn't agree more.